Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what part of the world you're in today. Today is Zoom study number 3 for 2024. And we have titled today's study, Love, Deception, and the Mission. Love, Deception, and the Mission. As of right now, it's going to be a standalone study depending on how the study goes today. However, should you want us, or should God want us to turn it into a longer series, we are certainly willing and would be willing to do that. Each word in my title this morning or today could be a very lengthy series all by itself. But I genuinely believe that we have gotten direction from the Lord, and trusting the Lord that he'll help us today as we try to express his heart and our heart. I pray you all had a great weekend. God help us all to continue to have great expectations for how God will use each and every one of us, especially every time we gather as a church. I text Pastor Foster this morning and said that we had just, you know, there are just those mornings, you know, you go to prayer in the morning, but then there are those times it just seems to be a special sense of his presence. And this morning was, I say unique, maybe that's not the right word, but it just was, there was, I texted him, I said, I just felt a sense of expectancy, just a real sense of expectancy. And as challenging as our world is right now, this is such an exciting time to be a part of the church. And some of you are brothers and sisters from Ukraine, possibly others from surrounding areas that are affected by the war. You know what it is to live in an extremely difficult time of crisis. And yet, God is doing amazing things. And there's a great move of God that's taking place in some of the most difficult places in the world that there are to evangelize. If this is the first time to join our study, either live or by recording, please know we're so honored that you've taken the time to be with us. We don't take your presence for granted. And as always, if there's anyone that you feel would benefit from these studies, please feel free to forward the Zoom link to them, or send me their email address, and I will be happy to put them on our mailing list when we send out the link each week. We'd love to have them join if you feel that it's something that could help them. Anyways, why don't we go to God in prayer to begin with today? Missionary Scott Grant from Quebec, would you open your voice and just pray for the study today?
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for my brothers on this call, my sisters on this call, each of us in unique scenarios, unique situations. But Lord, there's nothing you don't see. There's nothing that you're not aware of. There's nothing that you don't have capacity to bring light to so that we can see clearly. And so I pray in this moment, open our eyes and open our hearts to receive all that you have for us through the ministry of our bishop, that as he speaks, he would speak with clarity, and that we would open our hearts to see clearly moving forward so that each step could be precisely planted and our hearts and lives would make a maximum impact in this moment.
Yes.
As we function on mission for you. Yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray your blessing and strength, the wisdom of your spirit flow through his words to our hearts that we might be all that you've called us to be in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with us, please, to the book of Jeremiah, to the book of Jeremiah. And, Pastor Doji from Singapore, would you be willing to read for us this morning, sir?
Sure, Bishop.
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter
17.
17.
Reading verses 9 through 10.
9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings.
Okay. And then Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And I wonder, Pastor Jason, would you be willing to read for me, please? Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31.
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And God answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these."
It is my personal conviction that true revival has more to do with attitude and a way of thinking and perception more than it does with numbers and statistics. I want to say that again. True revival has more to do with attitude and a way of thinking and perception more than it does with numbers and statistics. Let me explain. The true mark of a local church that's experiencing a season of revival and harvest is best revealed by the passion it shows toward its primary mission. And that primary mission is evangelism and disciple making. As the church, collectively or individually, we must never lose sight of the fields that God has given us a responsibility for. In everything we do, or everything we give ourselves to, more than anything else, we must stay on mission, which is the purpose for the harvest. I've said it in times in the past, if not on Zoom study, at least in preaching and teaching, that if we fail the mission, we fail. If we fail the mission, we fail. You can be sure of one thing. God will never give us, as a local church, more people than we are able to love. You should think about that for a moment. He'll never give us more people than we are able to love. Loving people isn't merely a response based on feeling, emotion, or convenience. Loving people is not something we do out of a religious duty. Amen. Our ability to love people flows out of our love and appreciation for him. That is so powerful, because when we allow his nature to abide in us, it will also motivate and lead us to love as he loves. We feel his heart of compassion. We genuinely feel his love for people. Never forget our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true God of the Bible, doesn't just love us. He is love. It's one thing to have an attribute that describes something about you. But when we talk about God is love, it is his very nature. Just as God is holy. That's why the closer you get to him, the more intimate you become with him, the more you will love and the more you will be holy. You will desire to live holy, to act holy, to walk holy. Perverted things become a disgusting thing to you. It's not something that you're drawn to at all. There's just something about his nature being in us that causes us to want to genuinely love people as he loves people. I want us to look at Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, verses 51 through 53. Sister Shana, would you be willing to read for me, please? Luke 9, 51 through 53. And I'm reading from the New King James. So if that's what you have, that's fine. Something else, okay. Luke 9, 51 through 53. You're still unmuted. You still need to unmute, sis. Oh, thank you. There you go. There you go.
And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem.
Now, Jesus knew it was getting close for the time of his earthly ministry to be over. He also knew he had to go to Jerusalem to be offered up. The response of the Samaritans and their rejection of him is not, however, what disturbs me when I read this text. Instead, it was the response of his disciples. Let's read it. Shana, would you go ahead and read verse 54, please? You'll need to unmute, sis.
I promise I'm touching it. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did?
Think about what he just said. Ellis paraphrase. God, you want us to kill him? That's what he's saying. I heard one pastor one time say that he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, if you'll kill him, I'll be happy to preach their funeral. I would never make that statement. I would never do that. But James and John just simply said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? Oh, how we can be so deceived by our own heart. They were so deceived, they tried to justify their bigotry and their national bias by the Jewish culture that they had been raised in. Please remember, they were not in Samaria by choice. They were in Samaria out of obedience, and they could not deny that Jesus led them there. They were not there because of their love for the Samaritan people, and their actions clearly prove that. The first chance they thought they had to justify their bigotry, they seized the opportunity to the point they attempted to use scripture to back up what was in their heart. Hear me, please. Nothing reflects the heart and the nature of Christ abiding in us more than our ability to love people that are not like us, don't act like us, don't smell like us. They don't understand what we understand. And as we've already read, verse 54 actually proves they wanted to kill them. And here's what I want you to notice. They wanted to use scriptural authority to destroy the people Jesus wanted them to reach. Again, they pulled out an Old Testament example to justify their nasty spirit. I can only imagine how angry Jesus must have been. Watch this as we read. Shana, would you go ahead and start at 55, please? Unmute first. Verse 55.
But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village.
Notice what he did. You can see bodily action here, not just words. He turned and he rebuked them. And he said, "You don't even know what spirit you're of." I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands of how many times you've got in a pulpit and you preach more out of anger than out of love. I'll never forget, and I've got to be careful here, but I'll never forget coming out of my study one Sunday morning, and I walked onto the platform, and my eyes immediately went to a particular person. And this person had basically offended everybody in the church. There wasn't a person in the church she didn't offend. Her spirit was just pure nasty, with a capital N, if for those of you that are English speakers. And the moment I laid my eyes on her, I felt this anger just come up in me. And everything in me wanted to just unload. But I knew, even as worship, I knew if my attitude stayed the same, it was going to affect everybody in that sanctuary. So I walked off the platform back into my study. And I just said, "God, you got to help me right now, because I know this is not your will. This is my flesh." And I stayed in my study until I felt like I had conquered that thing, and the presence of the Lord, I was feeling his presence. And I went out and I worshiped, and I thank God I preached that morning, and I can legitimately tell you I didn't preach out of anger. But I just want to tell you that, again, I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm not trying to correct anybody. I don't feel like the Lord, put somebody on my mind that this message may be for, but I just know the human nature in all of us. And we got to check our spirit. The spirit is indeed willing, yes, but the flesh is weak. How many times have you driven down the road and somebody in front of you in the automobile did something pretty stupid and a thought went through your mind and you're just glad you didn't let those words come out of your mouth? Am I the only one that can make that confession? You know, the spirit's willing, but we've got this human nature on the inside of us. And God forbid that he would ever have to rebuke us because we had a spirit that we were ministering from, but it wasn't his. And that we would dare try to use some scriptural context to justify some inappropriate action or inappropriate thought. He rebuked them. He gave them strong correction. You don't know what spirit you're of. And Ellis paraphrased, but you need to understand something, gentlemen. Son of Man didn't come to destroy people. He came to save people. The question for each of us on this study today is this. As we begin this 2024 season, do we know what spirit we are of? Do we know what spirit we are of? Does our ability to love people match the mission we've been called to? I look at my brothers and sisters in Ukraine, and I told Pastor Sergey multiple times, I'd love to be able to tell you, I know what you're going through. That wouldn't be honest. I don't know what it is to look out my window and see missiles flying over my head. I don't know what it is to not know where that drone is going to fall. He told me just the other day, another miracle. People in their local church, I believe you said, Pastor Sergey. In fact, why don't you just unmute and tell them what you told me the other day about a missile that came close, but it didn't go off right by one of the houses. Tell them, Pastor Sergey.
The houses or the military hospital?
I'm not sure. You told me a story.
We have a sister that works at military hospital, and she said a missile landed right in the middle of the hospital and got stuck on the floor and did not explode. And wow. The hospital was packed with wounded soldiers. And miracles like that happen often.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, I don't relate to that in a direct way. But here's what I know. It would be very easy for them. I know myself. I've grown up with my prejudices and my bigotry. And I've had to change it because how I was raised was not correct. And I had bias toward people that I should not have had bias toward. And the only reason was because of how I was culturally taught. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have living by a country and having missiles coming down on my head by that country. And yet at the same time, I can't allow myself to get a spirit toward the people when we know it's the government and it's the government leaders that are behind it. And I can't just hate people because of these types of situations. And so we have got to continually check our spirit, check our heart to make sure we're not being deceived. Does our love and our passion for people match our understanding and the responsibility we have for the fields that we've been called to and sent by God to harvest? Does our words and our actions reflect the true nature of the love of Christ? Do we sincerely love people at the depth and level that's desperately needed for us to stay on mission? The next six verses that we're going to read are some of the most difficult verses to understand when viewed through the eyes of human reasoning. Shana, would you continue reading, starting at verse 57, please, of Luke chapter 9. Read through from 57 to 62. Watch this as she reads.
And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Can you put yourself in that place? Can you put yourself in that place? The closest I can reflect on is when I was in China. My wife and I were there. We went from Japan. We were in Japan, ministering there at their general conference, and then went from there to China. And while we were there, or actually before we got to China, I got word that my brother had had an aneurysm and was in critical condition. And everything in me wanted to go home. It's my older brother. It's my family. I know my family needs me. And everything in me wanted to go home. But as I sought the Lord would not give me the release to go home. But that the responsibility that he had called us to on our trip to China had more importance. I can't express to you how difficult a time that was. Sister Carol from Singapore was on that trip with my wife and I. She was our translator during that time. It was a difficult time. And I'm not saying this in a boastful way. I'm just telling you that we've got to stay on mission. And I didn't know how my family was going to respond, but the Lord visited me in the night and gave me a clear word and let me know that that was exactly what my older brother would have wanted me to do. And I was so relieved when I found out and spoke to my sister and then spoke to my sister-in-law and the family, that they were thankful that we decided to stay there in China and the things that we saw God do in the next several days. But here's my point. I'm not making this about me. I just want you to understand the mission matters. The mission matters. And if Jesus is truly Lord and you and I are truly his disciples, committed to fulfill his kingdom work and calling, then simply because he said so is all we need to know. We don't have to understand every detail. We don't have to understand every why. Everything in humanity was saying to me, but Joe, you got to go home. That's your brother. That's your family. What's your family going to think? But yet the Lord made it so clear what I was sent to do. And there were 120 people plus that were there in that meeting. They had came by airplane. They had came by train. They were risking their lives just to get there. They were coming hungry for this truth and this apostolic message. I'm thankful for the numbers of people that were baptized that during that time, the numbers of people that received the Holy Ghost. And these were all, most of them were national leaders throughout the whole nation. In fact, the very last day of the meeting, it got canceled because the government had traced one of the people and he became so afraid. He told them what he was doing and why he was there. But luckily, no one knew the names that they were all registered under. So no one else got caught. But I remember the morning getting knock on the door. Bishop Ellis, just stay in your room. Don't come out. And just stay here till we give you the green light to come out. Again, this is not about me. I'm just simply saying we're not called to be a part of a bless me club. We're the church. We're an army. Not all of us are living under the same level of challenge. But regardless if you're in the middle of a war or everything is just wonderful in your life, you've got the responsibility to love him and ensure that your spirit and your heart stays clean. I want to say it again. We don't understand every detail. We only need to submit to his will and calling, allowing his love for him and his love for people to lead us and to guide us. I submit to you and I today, we will only love our way to that level of submission and obedience. I want to say that again. We will only love our way to that level of submission and obedience. The sense of duty and the sense of responsibility, regardless of how powerful it may be, will never be enough. Not for that level of commitment and love. Watch this. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Pastor Doji, I'm going to go back to you, if you would. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
I would submit to us today that true apostolic revival will always cause us to realign our focus and passion on the harvest that is still in the field. I remember same time Jesus is going from village to village. The Bible said that everyone in these villages, all were healed. All were delivered. There was not a person that needed a healing or a devil that needed cast out that wasn't. And yet Jesus looked over the fields. He looked at the people that had just experienced the miraculous. The Bible said he was moved with compassion. And he began to pray. And what was his prayer about? He saw the people as sheep without shepherds. He saw the people because he understood that the miracle that they just received was not enough in and of itself to save them. They needed shepherds. They needed people to lead them, to care, to love them, to guide. And he began to pray that the Lord would send workers into his harvest. Again, Jesus' focus was not about sending tweets or posting Instagrams or sending out all kinds of, you know, look at the miracle that I've done. Let's count all the notable miracles that we've watched and let's number all the people that just got the Holy Ghost. I'm not being critical, but I'm just trying to make a point here. We better check our spirit. We better always look at our motive. What are we doing this for? What is this all about anyways? Is it flowing out of our love? Do we want the biggest this and the greatest that and look at what we've done or are we truly celebrating Christ? I want to tell you, Jesus looked at the masses of people and he's weeping with compassion because he understood at that moment in time, probably the majority of those people that had just experienced a miracle was never going to be saved. Now, the good news is this. I'm not convinced we are in that same situation now. I'm looking at people who are connected to large groups of people, local congregations, numbers and numbers and numbers of people. You are seeing God do wonderful, wonderful things in your midst. And so to me, it's not that the Lord of the harvest, doesn't have workers. I'm just convinced he doesn't have enough trained workers. We have people sitting in our pews that meet with us every week. They need trained. Why? Because the harvest still needs workers. But pastor, man of God, woman of God, let me tell you the greatest way to motivate them. It's not by giving them a set of rules to follow. But if somehow you can truly lead them and develop a culture that has learned to love him, truly love him, truly appreciate what he has done for them. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Let me go back to a personal time. Never forget, we were in prayer. Shana, probably not very far from where you're at right this moment. I was in the corner of our little small gymnasium and I just had my head buried in the corner. It was early one morning praying. And it came to me. I realized that what we were doing and what we were attempting to do. It was here. But I wasn't convinced it was here. The Lord just seemed to check me that I was striving to be the best we could be and do the best we could do and be the best preacher and the pastor and whatever we could be. But was the motivation of what we were doing out of our love for Him and our love for people? Or was it just here in the head? Head knowledge. Wanting to just do it because there's something in a man that needs to feel successful. Now, I'm probably not talking to anybody here today, but I'm just sharing out of my heart. And I remember how the Lord transformed us over the next little while into where I don't know how to put a number on it, but it just seemed like for multiple services after that, whenever I would step into the sanctuary and step out onto the platform and I would see the people, I would just begin to weep, begin to feel broken on the inside. And while I celebrated the people that were there every week and was appreciative of their loyalty and their faithfulness, there was something about seeing the people that didn't know Jesus. It just broke my heart because I realized that it may be our one and only opportunity to reach them, to connect with them. Now, I may be seeming very emotional right now. I'm not trying to make this a drama. I'm just trying to help us understand. We need to know what spirit we're of. We need to know that the motive of our ministry and the motive of our preaching, the motive of our teaching, the motive of our Bible study training, all that we are doing, that the motive is truly flowing out of His love and not just out of religious duty. You see, harvest is the primary reason for everything we do as a church. If we ever allow ourselves to get off mission, or if it becomes secondary to what we're doing, it's obvious we've been deceived and God's love is no longer leading us. Jeremiah 17 is such a powerful text. Verses 9 and 10. The heart, not the pump, the mind, the will, that innermost part of us, that part of us that governs our desires, that motivates our will. The Bible said, it's deceitful above all things. My famous phrase, what does all exclude? Who does all exclude? You know what that tells me? That tells me the person I look at in the mirror every morning has more of an ability to deceive me than the devil himself. The heart, our human will, our human desire is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. There is nothing more deceptive in our life than our own heart. Jesus said to his disciples, John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And then he takes it another step. He said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I made a statement recently. I said, you know, the Bible talks about us being clothed in humility. I said, humility is visible. It's not meant to be hidden. Well, love is the same way. Jesus said, people will identify our love for him because of how we love other people. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Pretty powerful. Others will know we're his disciples based on how they see us love each other. The Apostle Paul said to the church of Galatia, chapter 5 and verse 14, watch it. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's powerful. All the law, Paul said, is fulfilled in one word, or we understand one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Please don't minimize the importance of loving people as he loved us. I want us to read just a few more verses as we close our study today. And I want you to please notice the contrast of allowing our human nature to lead us Please notice the contrast of allowing our human nature to lead us versus his nature and character to lead us. Does that make more sense? That's what I meant to say the first time. Sister Deanna Endress, are you on? Are you able to get on? If you're not, I understand. She was on a moment ago. Oh, there you are, sis. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Could you read for me, please?
Absolutely.
Galatians chapter 5. Reading from starting in verse 16. I'm reading.
This I say that.
Go ahead.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Pause. Do you see just that statement alone? What will enable us to not be given over to the lust of our flesh if we allow his Spirit to lead us? And when you have his Spirit, you also have his nature. Okay, sis, go ahead. Verse 17.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh.
They're war and these at are, one another. Go ahead.
And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Go ahead, keep reading.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Mm-hmm. Adultery, fornication, mm-hmm. uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
These things are not just something that will keep us from loving people. They'll cause us to be lost. This fleshly nature in us that is constantly at war, Paul said to the church, I believe it was Romans chapter 8, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, that, that it's literally a carnal mind is literally enmity with God. And as I've explained, I think in the past, and you should know this, that if you're my enemy, we can avoid one another. But if I have enmity against you, which is what the, which is the word that's used, if I have enmity against you, I can't avoid you. I'm going to be in your face. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's constantly pushing against and pushing back from everything that's godly, from everything that's holy, from everything that's right. It will push and it will war against us continually. That's why Paul goes on to say, those that are in the flesh are allowing this fleshly nature to lord over us, to rule over us. It's impossible to please God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot, it's not possible to please him. My brothers and sisters, I'm talking to men and women that are mightily used of God. I'm appealing to you today. I feel this so strongly in the Holy Ghost. Don't ignore this. Don't minimize this. Don't look past this. Please understand. We have got to have the Spirit of the Lord leading us, guiding us. Then and only then will we be able to love as he would have us love. Sister Deanna, can we go ahead and keep reading, please? Let's read Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. One more. This is the last passages we will read.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Powerful. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is not a sissified subject. It's the very nature of God. And that has got to be the greatest, the first and foremost motivation behind everything we do. Deception, love, and the mission. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I close with this. the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. In another place, he said, I die daily. Crucifying the flesh is not something we do at a conference. Every January 1, New Year resolution, midsummer camp meeting, crucifying the flesh is something we do every single day of our lives. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to share before we close today? Anybody? You're quiet this morning. Brother Jason, are you waiting on me to call on you?
Hey, Bishop. I think this is a season. This is what I feel in my spirit. It's a season of God doing things that he's not normally done. And this is the reason why I feel to say this. We've recently combined some services with a church that don't think like us. Mm-hmm. You know, they believe in three gods. They don't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. They don't believe in oneness. But Friday, me and my wife were invited to the pastor's house, and he asked us to, if we would like to join churches with them and take over their building. Well, their building holds 350 people. It's got a 3,000 square foot finished basement, has 10, 12 Sunday school rooms. Bishop, it's everything you would ever want in a building. Mm-hmm. But this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. That God is wanting to open doors for those that are ready and equip us for the mission ahead of us. But we've got to be willing to pay the price of pain to go through what God wants us to go through. There's going to be a season of pain, but through that season of pain, there'll be a season of equipping to do the journey that God's calling us to do. So I believe those that are willing to endure the pain, Bishop, and I know it's an old time philosophy, but if you're willing to endure the pain, God's willing to endure a revelation of who he is, not just to us, but congregations that we'll connect with. I believe this ain't going to be a revival of a fishing pool. I believe this is going to be a revival of a net. And all I right. receive for the word of the Lord for everyone on this call today that this is a season of the net and not the season of the pool. The season of the pool is the way that used to be. But the apostolic, those that have the truth, Bishop, and those that believe it, this is a season of the net where God is going to open congregations of ministry for those that are willing to receive the pain of this season, for the equipping, for the revelation of those that are willing to hear the truth and believe the truth and receive the truth, Bishop, not just pastors, but congregation for the glory of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I receive that, Brother Jason. I receive that. I receive that. I just felt led of the Lord to ask you to talk. I just felt like you had something. Anybody else before we close?
Just coupled with that, Bishop, I agree totally with what my brother just said. The challenge of James and John you opened up with, they didn't know what spirit they're of. We can be right in our faith and our doctrine and wrong in our spirit towards other people. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about the people that Pastor Jason is connected to. But I guarantee they're not in one another's homes because he's being uppity about what he believes. Mm-hmm. And I think just as prejudice needs to be adjusted in our heart where we may be dealing with a culture or another language group, we need to have the Lord adjust us as well about who we are to people who are religiously different than we are. Mm-hmm. And if we'll allow his love to wash us so that we can love them with an open heart, then he'll open those kind of doors that he's described.
Amen. Amen. So good. So good. Brother Donahue, why don't you close us in prayer today, would you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
If you have something to share, please do.
Well, the only thing that just came to mind, Bishop, was we were ministering all over Italy several months ago, and we were in a city of Busto, and tremendous service. And at the end, the pastor pulled me aside and started asking me some questions. And for those of you that don't know, it's a battle there of fighting religion. And I looked at him, Bishop, and I said, your biggest opportunity right now are the 3,000 Catholic churches that are all around you. His eyes got this big. And he was fearful when he goes, he didn't say this, but it was almost an us versus them. I don't know, as Jason Razor was speaking to that, one of the biggest things that we're going to do, I appreciate what Bishop is talking about, love, but even those within the ranks of where we come from, United Pentecostal Church or Oneness, et cetera, we're going to fight those within to try to reach those that are without. And so go on, friend. God knows what you need. And, so that's hard, sir.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
I'm so grateful and thankful for the word today, the correction today. You know exactly, where we are and what we are in need of. And, as it came today, of course, I am taking inventory, looking at my heart and making sure it's in alignment with you. Thank you for Bishop and the time that you have spoken to him in prayer, and he walked out today feeling encouraged. And that resonated today. God, we are not here today just because of, it's just a spot on the calendar, but it's truly to get to know you and your ways, God. Continue to use him and use all of us, God, as we take this word and allow it to transform us and, reach others. I'm grateful for you. I'm thankful for you. Thank you for the men and women. I pray for Brother Sergey and our friends in Ukraine. I pray for them. I can't imagine, Lord, just continue to give them strength, faith, and grace, oh God. We love you, we honor you, and we give you praise. In name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we love everybody. And again, if there's somebody that you think may be able to or may benefit from the studies, feel free to pass the link forward. Again, appreciate each and every one of you so very much. And leave expecting. Amen. This is our day. Let's captivate on it or take advantage of it. Love you all. God bless.
And with the Holy Spirit.